night. So we're still on a series of strongholds, talking about strongholds. The title of our message tonight is Preparing to Do Battle. Preparing to Do Battle. And I told you, before you can pull down strongholds or recognize strongholds or whatever, it's a condition of the regenerate believer. It's a process in regeneration of you keeping yourself, but you have to know how to be able to examine yourself, because there is a warfare, there is a battle going on, and it's not a battle that has a respective person. In other words, no matter what stage of growth you're in the Lord, Satan still will come. And you can be just a new believer, or you can be the leader of the movement. In other words, you can be God himself, because Satan came to do battle with Jesus. He came and he tried to tempt Jesus. He tried to enter into his thought life. He tried to process him. He said, if these stones be bread, turn them. I mean, if you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread. So Satan doesn't, it doesn't matter to Satan. His plan is to attack, kill, and destroy. God created him that way. So when we cross over, when we leave Satan, when we leave, we become a believer. Now we are enemy of Satan. And don't get it in your mind that you go pacify Satan or whatever. Satan's not built or designed or created that way. He's a created being, but he is your enemy. He is your enemy. But by being us being carnal and in the flesh, his whole influence have it has went throughout our body. It permeated our whole being, and especially the mind, the thought life. We've been shaped, say the world is our matrix. In other words, it's where we were shaping at. The world has shaped us. So we, when God rebirths us, when we are reborn again, with that initial regeneration, he calls us out of the world. He starts to call us out of the world, and the world has become our enemy. And like I said, with that enemy, it's a non-ceasing enemy. He's very vigilant, and he'll fight you. He'll fight you, and he will fight you to the end. Paul, you might not think Paul would have attained this stature or whatever, but listening to Apostle Paul in the second Corinthians, the 10th chapter, he says, now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent and bold towards you, but I beseech you that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence, wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. They thinking we're just normal people, though we're in the flesh, that we walk as the same as they do. No, we don't walk as the world do. We've received of God's Spirit. Our life has to be a different life. It has to be a transformed life. We're in the world, but not of the world. Jesus Christ prayed. He says, Lord, I pray that you keep them in the world, but keep them away from the evil. He said, I pray that you take them out of the world, because our character has to be shaped here. He's designed us to overcome. We're going to go through a series of overcoming and overcoming, and it's the testing and the trial of our faith, which is worth much more than gold. It is something that we necessarily have to do. So we are entered into a battle, a warfare, and once we're converted, our sins are blotted out, Satan's going to try to influence our mind through the world. And it's never going to be a cease or a moment. He's very vigilant, and he's seeking to devour you. Listen at what Paul goes on. He says, for though we walk in the flesh, we're still in this body. And that's part of the problem, is this body. That's why I said we have to prepare to do battle, because we have to be able to recognize strongholds. We have to come to a consciousness, awareness in God of who we are, what we are, that we are flesh. In that our very bodies, that carnal, that flesh that we in, there's a law that's going on within our members, and we have to be able to see that devil in us. In other words, the flesh, the carnal man, that's enmity against God. And see, we'll always be in the flesh, but we're not warring against the flesh, and it's not people, our warfare, and it may reside in people, like I say. It permeates the whole world. It's nowhere you can go to get away from that presence of Satan, but it's nowhere you can go to get away from the presence of God. But Satan is not omnipresent. In other words, he can't be everywhere at the same time. He's not all powerful. He's not all knowing. So God equips us to fight in this war. But it's in our mind. That's where the battle is taking. It's not geographical. It's a spiritual battle. So he says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So this battle, all our weaponry is through Christ. It's not we warring against this person and that individual or warring against ourselves. The only way we can overcome is to be in Christ. That's why it says, let that same mind be in you that was in Christ. That's the only way. Christ has to do this. In other words, we have to prepare, learn not to hit back or not fight, that because it's not a carnal war that we're fighting. It's not a carnal war that we're fighting. So what we have to do, God's going to prepare us. If you read in the Old Testament, as the older people die out, God had to take the new people and prepare them to show them how to fight. A lot of people don't know how to fight. They fight, and they fight with vengeance in a fleshly or carnal manner. But we have to fight using the Word of God. That's where our weapons lie. Prayer is one of those mighty weapons. It says, casting down imaginations. So our thought life, our imagine, those things that we shape, those things that we form, those things that we think about. That's why we have to change that thought pattern. So I says, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever, think on these things. We can't go around here allowing our mind to just wander or be idle or just be a dreamer, daydreaming and thinking unchaste thoughts, thinking we got to be able to have that on mind. We've got to bring every thought into the captivity and obedience of Jesus Christ. So this is a learned behavior. If we will be able to go down, casting down it, because we have to, as a soldier, we have to engage the enemy now. We will have, either the enemy is going to engage us or we're going to have to engage him. And it was David, a type of Christ, but David always put the battle in array and God won it. So we have to be, as they said in Matthew 11, listen at what Jesus told one of the people in Matthew, the 11th chapter of Matthew's, and starting at about the 12th verse. And it was about John. So he said, up until that time, if I'll give you a minute there to get there. And I'll look around and thinking you're there. He says, starting at the 10th verse, well, this is he whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before me, before thine face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. John was a preparer. He was going. And we can be Johns if we want to. That's what he says, that spirit of Elijah that cometh. And John was a type of Elijah. He was preparing the way for Christ. And that's what we're to do. Prepare the way for the soon coming of Jesus Christ. So we have to be just as vigilant as John was. Now he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent taking it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So there is a spiritual striving. There's a spiritual striving, and I've used the symbol of a caterpillar crawling along, and all of a sudden he goes up on this limb, and some kind of milky, some substance comes out that spins a cocoon, and he goes up there, and he changes into a butterfly. Through that metamorphosis, he doesn't act like a caterpillar anymore. He had to fight and struggle to get out of that cocoon, but it's a whole different world. Now, there are predators that prey on butterflies. It may not be all of the same predators that prey on caterpillars, but the battle is mainly launched in the air. He's flying from place to place and lighting on this flower or whatever, so he's no longer on the ground or whatever. Our warfare, a lot of our battle is fought in the air. We have to learn. If you look at any army, they have to have a strong air force. If they have a strong air force, and I was telling the people about that when our president a few years back was bombing Libya. When you go in Iraq or anywhere, what you have to do, you have to take control of the air, sending out those bombs, because you have to be able to communicate with your soldier, but the air is everything. And so we are fighting against the prince of the power of the air. So we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. We're fighting a different battle. It says here, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And having a readiness to avenge all disobedience. So we are warring against powers and principalities in high places. So what we have to do is take control of the air, because Satan is sending his thoughts into our lives through the world, through the world's influence. And that's how he got to Eve. He started thinking to Eve, and he got through it through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Satan's trying to communicate and talk with you. He's been doing it. It's permeated your whole being. That's why Jesus wasn't born of man, because it's in the blood of man. It's part of it's flesh and our carnal makeup, but it's the permeated man. So God comes in a spiritual way, and we are made after Christ in a spiritual manner. So he's going to condemn sin in the flesh. This old flesh is condemned. We will have to put off this old corruptible flesh one day. The real man, the spiritual man that's made after in the image and likeness of Jesus Christ comes out. He's going to have a new body. This body has to return to ashes and dust to dust. So that's our enemy, is this body that we're in. But with that war, we're tuned in. We're sensual. We have sensory perception. We have emotions. We have everything that's trying to appeal to our carnal nature. It appeals, you know, what feels good, to protect security and everything else, the whole mindset. So we have to have a different mindset. In other words, we're influenced by Babylon. Babylon's influence is worldwide, and that's what, when Israel was taken captive to Babylon, a lot of them stayed in Babylon. They wouldn't come out. God was calling them out of Babylon, but they got comfortable in Babylon, and many people then got comfortable in the world, to where the world comes before God. The world comes before God. God's calling his people out of the world. He calls us out of the world. He says, come out of her, my people. Come out of Babylon. We have to be able to resist the devil and come out of Babylon. I think I got a couple of scriptures here that I might want to go to. Isaiah would be one of them, I think it is. Jeremiah. 51st chapter of Jeremiah in the 6th verse. 51st chapter of Jeremiah, the 6th verse. It says, flee out of the midst of Babylon and deliver every man his soul. Be not cut off in her iniquity. For this is the time of the Lord's vengeance, and he will render unto her a recompense. Babylon had been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. Babylon is suddenly fallen. Babylon will fall. This is our Babylon. I keep telling you, we're living in Babylon. A lot of people in the other nations are living in Babylon. So Babylon is not, as I told you, it's geographical to the world. In other words, Babylon is the world. There's no nation that's not Babylon. And I hear him talking about making Jerusalem the capital of Israel over there. It's still Babylon. It's just a man-made Babylon. That's all it is. That Israel is not the Israel of God, because we know biblically God said he's seen a new Jerusalem coming down. And the new Jerusalem is not geographical. The new Jerusalem is like the sand of the sea. It spreads throughout the whole earth. As our father Abraham, the inheritance was promised to the whole earth. We should inherit the earth, the kingdom of God here on earth. So it's not a little space of land over there that people that have a religious stronghold are blinded by the world, and they worried about that Jerusalem over there, and it's more pagan than the original Jerusalem was. They'll really have to destroy it because of their mindset. They still hadn't accepted Christ or whatever. So that has nothing to do with the true Jerusalem. But we're looking at a spiritual aspect here. And that's how Satan sets up strongholds in your mind. Lofty things. So we're to prepare for these things. But we have to be, during this regeneration, we have to be obedient to the word of God. Now to show you it's still around, the 18th chapter of Revelation. 18th chapter of Revelation says, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. It is become the habitations of devils and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." In other words, these were satanic influences. This is worldwide. That's why I tell you this is worldwide geographically. But spiritually, God's people are sprinkled throughout the earth, as you've seen in Nebuchadnezzar's vision, that the people, the kingdom was going to grow up. The world wasn't going to be able to intermingle and become one, but God's people will be coming one in God's power. They'll be looking for the striving of the unity of the Spirit till we all come into the unity of the faith. We all have unity, but you see the nationalist powers and things rising up, teaching self-centeredness and divisiveness. That's the spirit of the world. It says, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through her abundance of her delicacies." So this includes everything on earth, all worlds. There's no nation that's excluded from this. "And I've heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities." Same as in 2 Corinthians, where he says, "Come ye out from among them, be ye separate, and I'll be your God, and you'll be my people." I think I talked about that on one of the previous lessons of strongholds, or recognizing strongholds, about that. But that's all I need to say about that portion of it this morning, or this afternoon. But we have to not give place to the devil. In other words, when we're born again, that seed of faith, the word of God is in us. That's part of our regeneration, and that's, as I said, was a prerequisite of being regenerated. You had to have faith and believe in God. But being preparatory, after receiving of the Spirit, we have to become strong and not passive, as I was telling you John the Baptist was. The way we become strong is by the Word of God. Studying and reading His Word of God, and equipping ourselves. Now, I talk about this equipment at a later time, in a different period, the weapons of our warfare, which are not carnal, but they are mighty through God, through the pulling down of those strongholds. And I told you, prayer was one of those weapons, in that we have to stay in communication with God. Anything that breaks our prayer life, you know, like I said, we have to be in communication with the tower. God sending out his signals, and he talks to us each morning. Each time we pray to him, at any time we want to pray, we can communicate with God. That's why Jesus Christ came and died, that it's his battle, and he was recruiting a people. And he went there and he died, so the temple, the veil of the temple was rent, so we can go boldly to the throne of God and petition him. And he said, ask the Father anything in my name, and he'll give it to you. So we have to have faith in God. We have to have faith in Christ. We have to have a faith in the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the airfare has been broken for some of us. Some of us, that veil is still there, that darkness communicating with heaven. God's not hearing everybody's prayer. We want to keep those channels open, because Satan is the prince of the power of the air and the god of this world. But by God choosing us, we're in communication with him. It's like each man that has his walkie-talkie. It's he's equipping each one of us. So we have to have that confidence that we are chosen by God. Amen. That we are his, and that we're walking in him. I think I said in Hebrews, where we go first, the fifth chapter of Hebrews. And like I said, pulling down strongholds and everything, it starts to go towards seasoned veterans, those that are preparing and study. You remember I told you he had to show us how to fight. He had to teach us the war. The fifth chapter of Hebrews, we're going to start about the 10th verse. It says, call of God as high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. In other words, you've lived in the world, and that's why you always say, he with ears to hear, let him hear. There are some things we have to grow. Go down, skip down just a minute. Let me clarify this up. The sixth chapter, it says, therefore, having the principles, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrines of baptism and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permit. In other words, all this doctrine, all this teaching and stuff, you should or will know about it, but it takes time. It's a process. So people just come into church and think you could go out there and start rebuking and fighting the devil, and God tell you, well, if they are that state of mind, don't even put a preacher in. If he's a novice, if he's a young person, a new person, don't ordain him. Don't put him out there, because you're not ready to fight that devil. You have to learn that that's the Lord's battle, and that he's going to come after you soon enough. You don't have to go looking for him. He's going to come looking for you. Yes. You don't have to look for the devil. He knows where you are. Oh, yes. You don't have to chase him down. You're going to get tired of fooling around with that devil. You're going to be looking like Elijah. Elijah ran away. He wanted a reprieve. He had killed all the prophets of Jezebel.
Yes.
And he was so worn out, Jezebel chased him. He ran away, and he said, I'm the only one fighting. No, you ain't the only one fighting, but your thought life has been corrupted.
Yeah.
In other words, that's what a stronghold, we get faulty thinking. We start to thinking. Now, he had slain 700 prophets of Jezebel, 400 and some of the grove, and 200 and some of the other prophets. He had did all that, but he said, it's enough, Lord, that I should die. After Jezebel had threatened him and said she was going to take his life. If God had did all that, why would he lose faith and run from a woman? That was a stronghold, a lofty thing put up in his mind, and that needed pulling down. But we see where God allowed Elisha to come in and take over then. So we can't allow those to be set up. But if we study God's word and diligently go into God's word and not try to hurry in or whatever, we have to be patient and wait upon the Lord. Those that wait upon the Lord, he'll renew your strength. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. However the saying goes, you'll mount up with wings of an eagle. You know, so there'll be a rapid progression in your life as you grow in faith. Grow in grace, grow in the grace in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. As Peter taught, that all these things you keep adding on. You don't become grown overnight. Back to the fifth chapter, 11th verse. you dull of hearing. In other words, you've been listening at the world. You've been watching television. You can't cast the devils out because you still have a lot of devils. You still don't understand yourself. You still need to examine yourself. So let us keep training the soldiers. Let us keep preparing to be able to pull down these strongholds, because if you pull down some strongholds in your life, you have to know how to recognize those strongholds, because Satan is good at turning virtues into vices. Something good about you, Satan could turn that in a way that makes you conceited and prideful, and it become a stronghold in your life. So we have to be knowing how to fight. That's a preparatory period. He says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." You just got in the New Testament and learned a few things. Now you want to go to Revelation, and you're trying to digest all that, but you don't understand anything about the Old Testament. And that's a lot of strong meat in the Old Testament. A lot of people don't deal with that because that's a violent and a bloody God, so they would rather talk about Jesus. See, but their children, they don't know that's the same God. Same God. So Jesus had told them, "There are many things that I have to teach you, but you're not ready for that now. But I'll send another comforter, which is the Holy Ghost he was talking about. He'll be with you. He'll be in you. He'll lead you and guide you into all truth." So in other words, we have to be obedient. Just like he sent the messenger angel with the children in the wilderness, he's not going to put up with your sin. He's not going to put up with your disobedience. So you have to learn to be obedient to God. I think I read that in the previous chapter of 2 Corinthians, when I was 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and the 6th verse, where it says, "And having in readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled." In other words, he's waiting for the church to get ready. He's going to return. Everybody's going to be punished. Everybody's going to catch a whipping. Hebrews speaks of it. Every transgression will receive its just recompense of reward. But he's waiting for the church to purify themselves, to glorify, in other words, to get ready for, because Jesus don't put up with sin. So that's why he had set the fivefold ministry in the church to prepare the bride as a chaste virgin without a spot or wrinkle. In other words, to get rid of sin. To get their lives to be overcomers and diligently fighting and be ready for Christ to return. Not to get ready as the five foolish virgins was, but to be ready when he comes. We have to have sin vanquished and have a clean slate. So he says, "You're not ready for strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." See, we're going to turn the table. He turns the table on Satan here now, because that's what Satan told Eve. "You'll be as gods to know good and evil." Right? So if we could discern good and evil, we going to do as he told Jesus, and that prophecy was for all the children of God. He says, by time the child has grown, he'll learn to choose the good and refuse the evil. So we're going to have to start making better choices, better discernment of friends and what to do, because we're going to be punished for our disobedience. So we're going to have to learn to take heed to the word of God. We're going to have to learn to stay strong in the word of God. Be not ignorant. So that's our sword. That's our rod. That's where it comes down at. Jesus knew the scriptures. You remember I told you, when Satan came to him, Jesus, he said, "You do error not knowing the scriptures." That's what he told the Pharisees, that they didn't know the scripture or understand the word of God. They were ignorant of the word of God. And ignorance is not an excuse. You can't say you didn't know. That's no excuse. God, through the Apostle Paul, say that, "I pray that you would not be ignorant." You can be spiritually ignorant. The book of Romans says, for they, he was talking about the Jews, and I was telling you about this thing with Jerusalem in America making an awful decision here because they're going into a world of politics that they know nothing about. And he says, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. So we see here that you have to be submitted to God. You have to be in total submission to God to be able to establish the righteousness of God, because what this nation is trying to do is establish its own righteousness according to the way they think, according to their thought lives. And God said about the Jews, he said that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So they are acting ignorantly, and this nation have always acted ignorantly on some things. Ephesians 4:18 says, having their understanding darkness, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They hadn't been converted. This is a false Christianity in this nation. We see false Christians. That's why I say we have to be in the world but not of the world. When he was talking about come out of the world, he's talking about the church, because in Revelation you see seven churches that he writes to that he's going to come and fight against the church. I tell you, he's permeated the churches. Satan's ministers have transformed themselves into angels of light. So some of the churches are some of the worst places to be because of false religion. See, that's a stronghold. We don't have a teaching on that. But religion, it's a false religion. Religion is nothing more worse than a stronghold where you think you're saved, but you're not saved. You've apostatized. You've moved away from Christ, but it's a different Jesus that you're preaching. Paul said that there was another Jesus and that you cursed. You've cursed with a curse. Someone had bewitched them through religion. That's the problem I see in this nation. It has become bewitched through religion. Matthew 4:12 says, but they know not the thoughts of the Lord, neither understand they his counsel, for he shall gather them as a sheaves into his floor. He's talking about the Pharisees and those that follow him, that those of a different religion. He's going to allow the mega churches and everything because they are in sinful flesh. Their motives and things, those are the ones who say, well, aren't we doing this in your name? And they will be doing great things. But Christ will tell them, depart from me, you that work iniquity. I never knew you. They're not part of the overcomers or whatever. Also, I said they were ignorant of his word. And that's why we have to study to show ourselves approved. That's one of the major preparatory things, is knowing the word of God. That's why he writes those laws on your heart. He writes his law and his word on his heart. Those churches that's talking about the law is done away with know nothing of God. He abolished the ordinances, the ceremonial aspect. He didn't do away with the law. He said, not a jot nor tittle will vanish away from the law. That's part of God. That's who God is. That's his nature. So Paul said, well, nothing wrong with the law. The law is holy and pure. The weakness was in the human flesh. And the weakness was in man, not the law. Weakness is in our flesh. Matthew 22:29, where Jesus says, Jesus and said unto the Pharisees, he said, you do error, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You commit an error here. They didn't know that, he says in John 20:9, for as they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They didn't know anything about the resurrection, that Christ had to rise from the dead. He's the only saved. He's the only, this is the only religion where there was a live Savior. In other words, the resurrection. He was resurrected from the dead. See, if Jesus would have just died, it wouldn't have did us any good. He was resurrected. And he bought our freedom. His blood, because he was an innocent man, he bought our freedom. We were redeemed by his blood. But he's our high priest that's interceding for us. That's why he says the Holy Ghost will teach you and guide you and lead you into all truth. The truth's what's going to make you or set you free. That's where pulling down the strongholds. But it's a preparatory period that we go to. I'm not going to read many more, but there are tons of them, like 2 Corinthians 3:15. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is over their hearts. Some people still can't see that. There's a lot of churches still don't see what God's doing. They don't understand. They're not overcomers. They're preaching it. The blind's leading the blind. They're going from a different aspect. They're not, they hadn't prepared for this war because they are the enemy and the enemy is us. The carnal man is not subject to the law of God, never will be. So the enemy, we carry the enemy around with us each and every day. Going on to perfection, you remember I said we have to be mature. We have to not stay as a child. I said when I was a child, I understood as a child. The church went through an infancy stage, a baby stage, and that's where you heard the church in the book of Acts and all this speaking in tongues and everything. A lot of people talk about tongues today or whatever, but I think, as Paul said in the book of Corinthians, there were tongues for a time, but tongues was going to disappear. I think we read it, you read it in 1 Corinthians, that love would remain, but that prophecies and all those things was going to disappear. But so when a lot of times people going around talking about speaking in tongues and all this or whatever, and they, like I said, they're teaching from a perspective that they really don't know and don't understand of why or what God is doing. It sounds good, but it's not sound theology. In other words, it's not. So in its infantile stage, the church did speak in tongues. And he says prophecies and tongues, all these things would disappear, but love would never disappear. So we were looking at an infantile church, and that's what he's talking about in Hebrews. We must be continually growing in the Lord. That's why he told the Corinthian church, they were blessed with a multitude of gifts, but without knowing how to use a gift, without understanding the purpose of the gift, without understanding the giver of gifts, it becomes a stronghold in your life. That was a stronghold of them speaking in tongues and being gifted people. Because there are a lot of people out there selling the gift of God. See, they could work, you know, the gifts of God. It's not under repentance. In other words, you can work a gift and don't have to be repentant. There are a lot of people healing people. There are a lot of people being blessed. The adulterous generation look for signs. So that they will be what in the last days, he said, the adulterous generation will look for a sign. And they're going to have lying wonders and lying miracles. They could be doing great things. But this doesn't necessarily certify them as being of God. The Word does that. That's why we have to study to show ourselves approved. Philippians, the 3rd chapter, the 12th through the 15th verse says, not that I have already attained it, this goal of being Christ-like. I have already been made perfect, but I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. In other words, when I told you we're justified, when Jesus Christ justifies us, we're justified, but that justification has a process. In other words, we're placed in right standing with God, but then we have to go on to perfection. In other words, it has to be worked in our lives. We'll be never more justified than we were justified by God. When he justifies us, we're free. We justify. But there's a process that we go on and fulfill why the justification. There's a purpose and a reason he justifies us. That's to glorify God. There's a work to do. That's why it says faith has works. So, in other words, we're perfect. Just as Job was a perfect and upright man, That's what the Bible says. In other words, he was complete and mature, but he wasn't sinless. Jesus was the only one that was sinless when we talk in perfection. That's why he says, let us go on to perfection. So Job was obedient to God's word. Job spoke to him and he says, I didn't understand, but now I understand greater. Because we'll be forever learning. And that's why I told you, you can continue to go to church and we'll be learning. We'll be priests. We'll be teaching others. We're a royal priesthood. So God's infinite. I was telling some people that today that I was witnessing to. It was this girl and her mother and grandmother and everything. And that God is too vast for us to understand. We'll never know God in his completeness. He's all, you know, it's so much God. The vast, the heaven of heavens couldn't contain God. You see what I'm saying? He just gives us to what we could understand. And he's opening up our understanding. So that's why Paul says he is perfect. And the people are criticizing him in the book of Corinthians. That's why he says he was going to come with a rod. He might have to come. And that means with the word of God. Because a lot of times people take my kindness for a weakness. Sometimes to be nice to people, people try to take advantage of you. And then that's why I say you have to be tempered. You have to know when to come down and how to come down. You have to be able to manage your anger. You have to be able to, the spirit of the prophet should be subject to the prophet. Patience comes through exercise of use. That's why we have to, that's one of the gifts of the spirit, temperate and grave. So we can't go down pulling strongholds unless God has prepared us to fight in that battle. We'd be out there doing things that we shouldn't be doing. We'd be doing like Elijah. We do something that God has to, okay, well, you've done and you're good, but now I have to take you and replace you with someone else. He wants us to learn. He wants us to know how to fight. And that's what the word of God does. It teaches how to fight. This enemy we're going up against has much more experience and understanding. So we have to be able to submit ourselves to God and not fight our own battle. We have to learn to allow God to fight the battle. That's preparing to fight the battle, to learn that the battle is the Lord. It's not our battle. We have to ask him how to fight. We ask him how to do everything. Prayer and supplication, let all your requests be known to God. Whatever you're going through, it's through God. If you've done something, it's at God's direction. Elijah said that he had mocked and said what he did to the prophets of Baal because God had directed him to do that. We have to learn to follow directions. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet, on my own yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to the win, the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature, in other words, pursuing spiritual perfection, should have this attitude. And if any respect, and if in any respect you have a different attitude, which is to God, will make clear to you. Only let us stay true to what we have already attained. So we have to have that attitude that we hadn't arrived, we're not perfect, and that we will have to keep pressing on toward the mark of the high calling in Jesus. We don't know it all. I'm always wanting to learn. I'm always looking. There's more for me to learn. Sometimes you be slow to speak and quick to hear. Wise head totes a steel tongue. Don't be of many words sometimes, because there's wisdom in the multitude of counselors. Like I say, the battle is coming. You're in the battle. But you have to listen at your general that's preparing you how to fight. So every day you go out there, you will have those skirmishes. But you don't want to be losing. At the end of the day, when you recap the day praying to God, you want to thank God for the victories and the things that he brought you through that day instead of having to consistently apologizing for the mistakes and the things that your conscience is, that you're asking God, oh, Lord, I blew it again. I just lost my temper. I did this. I did that. You want to be able to think and meditate on the word of God. You want that to become first nature. That's second nature, but it needs to become first nature so you're not making those mistakes, those blunders. You want to purge self, and God helps you, and he's going to pull out the strongholds as necessary. You're going to be ready for this battle, and you don't know how you got prepared. God's going to prepare you for it. Stop trying to go out there and fight the battle. You go out there and yield or submit yourself to God. Submit to God, resist the devil. Let's look at that. James, the fourth chapter of James, first through the tenth verse. It says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your own lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and ye receive not, because ye ask amiss, and that ye may consume it upon your lust." You want things, but you're asking for the wrong things. You're asking for the wrong reasons, the wrong purposes. Your body is full of sinful lust and desires and things. It's out of control. You're not able to examine your own self and say, "Lord, why do I want this? Or why am I thinking like that?" You have to realize that self is the enemy here, that the carnal man, why did I do that? Why did I say that? There's another man, there's something within your members that's warring against the law of your mind. I think it's Paul who said it, Romans the 7th chapter. Paul seen this. You can read that whole chapter. Verse 7 of the 7th chapter. "What shall I say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law, if I had not known the law, except that thou hast said, thou should not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive once without the law, but when the law commandment came, sin revived and I died. Which was then," verse 13, "was then that which is good made deaf unto me?" No, God forbid. "But sin," listen to this, "but sin, that it might appear sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful." He's waking, he's coming to conscious now. Now, see, the law was added because your body was naturally transgressing God, and you could see how sinful you was, and you didn't know this until the law said, "It's not right to covet. It's not right to do this." Because of transgressions against God, that's why he added the law. So you're not just fighting against carnal things. This thing is in you. This is part of who you are and what you are. You are a sinner. That's what you're doing. This is what you do. But when you are a child of God, you are no longer a sinner, but your body still sins. That's why it says, "He that is born again sinneth not, because his seed remain in him." But Paul said, "But though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh." In other words, this body is the thing that's sinning, but it's not me that's sinning. It's not I that live, it is Christ in me. So that's why I said, we have to know who's the enemy we fight. We have to be prepared for this warfare. To pull down the strongholds, before we can cast Satan out, we have to find out what is strong man. Who is the strong man? What is the strong man? This is not as easy as talking about. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold unto sin." I was sold by my daddy. Adam sold me out. I was sold unto, I'm fleshly, I'm carnal now. And the law God gave was a spiritual law, so it's weak through the flesh. "For that which I do allow not, for that which I do I allow not. For what I would do, I do not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. It's the flesh, the body. I keep hating to do this. I don't want to eat this. I want to pay my tithes. I want to love my wife and not covet. I want to love my children and do right for my home. I want to love my neighbors. I don't want to curse. I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to, but all these things are works of the flesh. And you yielding your members whose servants you are. So the flesh, if I keep yielding my members unto Satan, then that's whose servant I am. So I need to find a way to buffet my body. And only God can do that. He's the only one who could give us strength to overcome self. So this is the battle we're preparing for. First one, we got to see that the enemy is us. We are the enemy. We are it. He says, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. I can't do it. It's something. That's why I said we have something extraneous to us. In other words, God's put something into us. Now what we have to do is change the way our thinking. That we're defeated. We're already defeated. We're perfect in Christ. But how to do this, we need to find out how to do this. How to loosen the bonds that so easily bind us. The bonds that tie. How to break out of relationships. How to overcome our family members. How to overcome the world. Remember, because he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. We need to come out of the world. But we have to be called. And God calls us out of the world. Now if he calls us, he's not going to do anything that he don't give us the ability of the will to do. So we have to have, our faith has to lie in him. And we have to see that it's germane to the word of God. That's where it's at. Prayer in the word of God. Prayer in the word of God. But it's our mind that Satan works. That's the field Satan's working on. So let's keep preparing for this enemy here. He says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it. If I'm doing what I don't want to do, then it's not me that's doing it. My body is doing it. My flesh, he says, but sin that dwelleth in me, that carnal man that's not subject to God. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. My spiritual man, that self, that spirit of man, that spirit of mine that's united with the seed of God, the word of God that's in me, I delight after that law. I delight after God's law. I want to know how to do it. He says, but I see another law within my members, warring against the law of my mind. My flesh is like a flesh-eating bacteria. It's warring against that. I'm vexed. I have a terrible problem here. It's a Jekyll and Hyde complex. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, and it's tearing me apart. I need to be able to get ready because I'm in a warfare. But before I can fight the enemy, we have to defeat them at home. Yeah. All that's domestic it. Enemies. Before I can take care of somebody else's house, my house has to be in order. So he says, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That it's in my body. So I see this thing going on. Oh, wretched man that I am. I'm a wretch. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Now, he says the body of the death. The body is dying. You remember I said, we're going to have to learn how to pull off this tabernacle. In other words, through fasting and prayer, we have to die to self. That's why Paul said he died daily. If I can get away from the urges and emotions. I told you I was weaning away from television. Very seldom do I watch anything hardly on television. My wife be so upset with me sometimes because I could start to watch a picture 15 minutes in and I say, I'm tired of it. I don't want to watch it. It don't make sense to me. So it doesn't bother me. And I said, I don't really, you can get cable whatever you want, but it doesn't, because I couldn't watch enough TV to satisfy having cable. So I said, let's cut it all off. I need to be reading and studying or whatever. Things of the world, it's leaving its appeal to me. I'm hearing another voice. I want to sharpen my hearing so I can hear God. He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So, oh, Brother Paul, he says he was fighting that fight. Now, let's see how long we have here. Five teachings of grace. This is going to show you the active role that we must do. Like I say, mostly before you can go fight another nation, what do we have to do? You've been in the Army, right? You have to go through basic training. In other words, you have to prepare your body. There's certain training my daughter and them went through in the service that they had to learn to keep their head down. And you know, there's a part of that training where they're using real ammunition. If you raise your head up, you can get your head blown off. So it's real bullets. This is a real war. We can be killed in the elementary stages of this war. We don't know what God has for us. Satan is real, so you can't just leave out of here playing and popping off with that devil, because life is real. We prepare. You meet Satan, but you better let God introduce y'all. If God introduces you, Satan ain't for a problem. Yeah, my servant Job. Try Job. Satan had the problem, not Job. Job was able to go through because why? God had prepared Job. He's not going to lay anything on you that you can't bear. So if God entrusts you to fight with the devil, you have to be faithful and true to God to prepare yourself. And that's by studying his word. He tells us to meditate in it day and night. So in preparation, it's self that we're getting ready. Self has to die. So we're going to pick this up next teaching. I don't know if we're going to do the same thing. It's part of a series, so we'll do this, finish this. This will be part one.